الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، this morning إن شاء الله we'll take some review over that which we had discussed from our previous classes. The author, رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned the first question. That is, what is the first obligation upon the slaves? What is the first obligation upon the servants? Who can answer? Yes. معرفة الله بالتوحيد. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with التوحيد. And to know the reason why they are created and brought into existence. To know the reason why the heavens and the earth are established. And likewise the coming of the prophets and messengers. And the sending of the revelation and the creation of the Jannah and the Naar, to know this affair. And that is, as the brother he mentioned, for a great purpose, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of his tawheed. By way of his tawheed. We discussed here the answer, yani the, what is the matter, what is this major affair? And that was in two aspects. What is this major affair from the wisdom of the creation for the heavens and the earth, and likewise the jinn and the mankind, and the coming of the prophets and messengers, and the sending of the revelation, and the creation of the Jannah and the Naar? There was two issues that we discussed here. The people of God, as they say, the al-murada, al-ghayat al-murada minhum, wal-ghayat al-murada bihim. The intended purpose from them and the intended purpose for them. Who can discuss this issue? What's the purpose of the creation? Heavens and the earth, and likewise of jinn and mankind. It's divided into two parts. The answer here is in two aspects. The intended purpose from them and the intended purpose for them. Yes.
ذات المراد منهم زاد بين الله فرس وهو التوحيد وغاية المراد بهم سبب
أحسن الله اللهم بارك. So الغاية المراد منهم معرفة الله عز وجل بالتوحيد، والغاية المراد بهم ابتلاؤهم وجزاؤهم على أعمالهم، ابتلاؤهم بالتكاليف الدينية بالأوامر والنواهي وجزاؤهم على ذلك. So the intended purpose from them is that they should know Allah with Tawheed. And the intended purpose for them is that they will be tried and tested with regards to this, and they will be taken to account and recompensed accordingly. The first aspect, or the first intended purpose from the creation, is to know Allah with Tawheed. This is also understood in two lights. What is that? أحسنت. التوحيد العلمي والتوحيد العملي. Whenever the scholars they say, معرفة الله بالتوحيد. To know Allah with Tawheed. This includes both aspects of التوحيد. The knowledge-based Tawheed and the application of التوحيد. Rather, the whole intent and purpose from the Tawheed is the application. But in order to reach this level, one, he must know Allah. So the one who learns about Allah and his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection and about his actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will love him. And if he loves him, then he will seek to learn that which is pleasing to him and then strive to do that. And likewise, he will learn that which is displeasing to Allah, and he will avoid and stay away from that. Meaning he will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon knowledge and light and insight, iman, with great love, hope, and fear. Reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is al-ghayatu al-muradatu minhum. This is what is intended from the creation, that they should know Allah, and that they should love Him, and they should surrender to Him in obedience. They should worship Him, and they should worship Him wholeheartedly, sincerely, in the manner that He has prescribed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we understand this first point. We need the evidence for that. The evidence, yes.
وما خلق الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون الله الذي خلق
Allahumma barak. The first evidence for a tawheed al-ilmi, the knowledge based tawheed is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahunna, that it is Allah who has created the seven heavens and from the earth the likes thereof. Yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna, his command descends between them. Lita'lamu, in order for you to know. Anna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, that Allah has the ability to do all things. Wa anna Allah qad ahata bi kulli shay'in ilma, and that Allah has encompassed all things in knowledge. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying the wisdom of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And that is لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And that is so that you may know. He created the heavens and the earth. This is what Allah did. He created the heavens and the earth. And the wisdom behind that is so that you can know Him. So that you can know Him. So you can know him by his beautiful names and all the attributes of perfection, by his power and authority. He has the ability to do all things. Nothing is hard or difficult for him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has encompassed all things in knowledge. So these are from the beautiful traits, characteristics, attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has the ability to do all things and that he has encompassed all things in knowledge. And the one who has the ability to do all things and has encompassed all things in knowledge, he is the one who is worthy of worship. He is the creator, he is the provider, he is the sustainer. No one else has these traits and attributes. So no one has the right to be worshipped but him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what this knowledge leads to. The knowledge of al-tawheed. The knowledge of al-tawheed leads to the understanding that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So the one who is the creator and the provider and the sustainer and has authority and command over the entire creation, the one who has brought everything into existence and given it its shape and its form, the one who everything in the creation is dependent entirely by way of necessity upon the creator for its very existence and life, then he is the one who's worthy of worship. Allah alone is the one who's worthy of worship. Understand that he is the creator, he is the provider, he is the sustainer. He has a life that is perfect. As for the creation, they're dependent upon him and they are in need of him, and he is not in need of anyone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, he is worthy of worship alone. This is what the knowledge of the Tawheed leads us to realize and to understand this great reality that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned in his book, هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء, that it is He who forms you in the wombs as He wills. So He is the one who has formed you in the wombs as He wills. And we know that from the means of that, or the way that Allah, He forms the people in the wombs, is that He creates them from that fluid. فَلْيَنْظُرْ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلَقَ, let the human being look what he was created from. Now the verse is مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ فِي مَقَامٍ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ, and from that lowly fluid. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي أَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ, he is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. And from that fluid. From that fluid you turn into a blood clot, and then there's flesh, and then there's bones, and then the parts of the body, the organs, they are created. They're created, and then faculties, likewise, hearing and seeing, small. Even right now, as an adult, the eardrum and the parts of the ear that allow you to hear are very small. Imagine how small they are whenever you're a baby in the womb. Likewise, the eyes and the parts, all of this is created in the womb of a woman, and in the womb of a woman, from that fluid of a man and a female, of a male and a female. One of you, so we're looking for our hymn, if you share. So this is Allah. Allah, He is the one who forms you in the wombs of women as He wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes this one white, he makes this one black, he makes this one dark, he makes this one light, he makes this one soft and easy and gentle, this one rough and tough and hard, this one kind and courteous, this one he's rude, and the likes like this. And he created in the womb like this, Allah, he forms you and shapes you as he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this leads you to realize, La ilaha illa huwa, al-azizu al-hakim. There is none who has the right to be worshipped but him. He is the Almighty and the All-Wise. He is the Almighty and the All-Wise. So this verse here is all about Tawheed. Right? It begins and ends with the Tawheed al-Ilmi, and it realizes, brings you to the realization of the Tawheed al-Amali. You understand? هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء. He is the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. This is the Tawheed al-Ilmi. This is telling you about Allah. Allah is teaching us about him. He's the one who formed you in the wombs. Who forms you in the wombs? How did you get in it? Allah is the one who formed you in the wombs as he wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, because of that, La ilaha illa huwa. No one has the right to be worshipped but him. Why? Because he's the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. You understand? He's the one who gives you shape and form and brings you into existence in this manner as he wills. Anybody else do that?
No.
Nobody else does that. Either la ilaha illa huwa. Then no one has the right to be worshipped in him, the one who forms you and the one who as he wills. Clear? Al-Aziz wal-Hakim. Then he closes, the verse closes, Al-Aziz wal-Hakim. La ilaha illa huwa, Al-Aziz wal-Hakim. None has the right to be worshipped in him, the Almighty. Meaning no one can overpower him, overcome him, or escape his authority and command. Subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hakim, the all-wise. And when his judgments are wise, and his decision is wise, his decree is wise, and all of his actions are wise, he forms you in the wombs in the wombs as he wills, based upon wisdom. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what occurs to you in your life is based upon wisdom. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this portion here is At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi, At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi. Allah is the Almighty, Allah is the All-Wise. You understand? So it begins with Tawheed Al-Ilmi, and then At-Tawheed Al-Amali, and closing with At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi. Wadih? You understand? هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء. He's the one who forms you in the wombs as he wills. This is At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi. Knowledge about Allah. The knowledge of Tawheed about Allah, about Allah's Tawheed. La ilaha illa huwa. None had the right to be worshipped at him. This is Tawheed al-Amali. He's the one who's worthy of worship. He's the one who's worthy of worship. You must worship him alone because he's the one who formed you in the wombs, kayfa yasha, as he wills. Al-Aziz al-Hakim. This is about Allah. Knowledge about Allah from his beautiful names. Al-Aziz. From his lofty attributes of perfection. Al-Izzah. And from his beautiful names. Al-Hakim. And from his lofty attributes of perfection and hikmah. So this is all about Allah Azza wa Jal. And all aspects of Tawheed are here in this one verse. You understand that? And the way to understand it is that the knowledge-based Tawheed is the proof and evidence, the gateway to the application of a Tawheed. You understand? The knowledge-based Tawheed is the gateway to the application of a Tawheed. The application of a Tawheed, meaning to love Allah and to prefer the love of Allah and to hope in Allah and to fear and revere Allah, to put your trust and reliance upon Allah, to single him out for that, and to obey him in public and private, and to surrender and to submit to him in obedience wherever you may be. This is the application of a Tawheed. But whenever the knowledge of a Tawheed is strong, then the application of a Tawheed will be good. And whenever the knowledge of a Tawheed is weak, then the application of a Tawheed will not be good. Will not be good, you understand? So this Tawheed, Tawheed al-Ilmi, is the gateway to deify Allah and to love him and to worship him. To give him his right to be worshipped alone. Because if a person doesn't know his Lord, then he will have misconceptions or he will have doubts. He will wind up following his desires and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he knows his Lord, then that knowledge will carry him to surrender and to submit. That knowledge, if it's good and takes root in his heart, it will carry him to surrender and submit. As for if he has some knowledge of Tawheed, But that knowledge doesn't carry him to surrender and to submit, or he surrenders a little and then also follows his desires as well. Then this is going back to that knowledge and also to his intention himself and determination to be upright and uphold that knowledge and what he wants. And he from his life, he's been deceived by the dunya and the likes like this. So this is why we're created. This is the purpose of the creation. Al-ghayatu muradatu minna. What is intended from us is that we will know Allah and worship Him. That we will know Allah and worship Him. You understand this? That we will know Allah and worship Him. How do we worship Him? By fulfilling the religious duties, establishing the commandments in the manner prescribed, and avoiding us staying away from the prohibitions. And avoiding us staying away from the prohibitions. Ma'rifatullahi bit-tawheed. Ma'rifatullahi bit-tawheed. This is what is intended from us. To know Allah with tawheed. You understand this? The second aspect was al-ghayatu al-murada bihim. What is intended for them? What is intended for them? So based upon that, also it's not left unchecked. Rather, there's accountability. There's accountability. So this is also from the wisdom and the purpose of the creation. To take the people to account, to try them and to test them and to take them to account. This is also from the wisdom of the creation of the heavens and the earth, and of life and death, and of good times and bad times, prosperity and adversity, health and wealth and poverty and illness. From the wisdom of these affairs as well, the creation of these affairs is to try and to test the people. And then after that, to take them account according to their actions and deeds. Understand this? This is all from the wisdom of the purpose of the creation of the heavens and the earth. The proof for this aspect. Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. Indeed, we have made that which is on the earth as an adornment, as a beautification, in order to try them and test them to see what's best indeed. So therefore, somebody may say, why is it made all so beautiful and attractive and appealing and the pleasures that are desirable? What is all of this for? To test them and try them who is best indeed. You understand? Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. Indeed, we have made that which is on the earth as an adornment, beautification. لِيَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ. In order to test them and try them to see us best indeed. Also, yes. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. It is He, meaning Allah, who created the death and the life to test you to see what's best indeed. So Allah created death and life. Why? To test you to see what's best indeed. So the adornment and the beauty of this life is a trial and a test. And life and death is a trial and a test. Likewise, Allah, He says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Then, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. You see how it's closed? وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ. And we test you, سَيِّئَاتِ وَالْحَسَنَاتِ. We test you with bad times and good times. We test you with adversity and prosperity. We test you with sickness and health. We test you with problems and likewise ease and good times. Why? As a trial. Fitnatan. Wa ilayna turja'un. And to us is the return. And to us is the return. The return for what? For accountability. The return for accountability. It's the promise from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is from the wisdom of the creation of the heavens and the earth. Al-ghayatu al-muradatu minhum al-ghayatu al-muradatu bihim. Likewise, Allah, He says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. And everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. And He is the creator and provider and sustainer of the heavens and the earth. And that all belongs to Him, is under His authority and command. And from the wisdom of that, لِيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا. In order to recompense those who do evil according to their deeds. وَيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. And to recompense those who do good with the best. So again, Allah is clarifying that from the wisdom of the creation of the heavens and the earth and what is intended for them, is that they will be taken to account and recompensed for their deeds. Those who do bad, they'll be recompensed according to their deeds, and those who do good, they'll be recompensed according to the best. So therefore, the answer to the question, what's the wisdom from the creation of the heavens and the earth? What's the wisdom from the existence of the jinn and the mankind? Why are there calamities, hardships, and trials? Why are there sicknesses, illnesses, and robberies or crimes? Why is happiness and joy or sadness? And why is there safety, security, fear, and trials? What is the wisdom from all of this? What's the answer? Summarize that. Yeah. To be taken into account. So before that, it summarized everything. To know Allah and to worship Him, and so that He can test us and try us with what? With religious duties and responsibilities, and with commandments and prohibitions, and then take us to account accordingly. And take us to account accordingly. Understand that? So this test, it lies in the faculties. It lies in the faculties. You understand that? It lies in the faculties, al-hawas. And what are they? The eyes and the ears, right? The seeing and the hearing. And these are the pathways to the heart. So it lies in the heart. If the heart is good, it will look at that which is pleasing to Allah. If the heart is not good, then it will not do that. It will do the opposite. If the heart is good, then the ears will listen to that which is pleasing to Allah. If the heart is not good, it will be tried with the opposite. We tried with the opposite. So the test lies in the faculties. The test lies in the faculties. This is what we're trying with. That's why, for example, the Prophet said, Rufi al-Qalim an thalath, the pen has been lifted from three. And the majnuni hatta yufiq, wa an na'im hatta yastaghith, wa an sabi hatta yahtalim. And from the one who is insane until he regains sanity. Right, he doesn't have his faculties, so he's not accountable. He's not accountable. The one who's sleeping, likewise, he's not aware. He doesn't have his faculties while sleeping. Therefore, he's not held accountable for what he says or does while he's sleeping. And likewise, the one who is a child before reaching the age of puberty, because before the age of puberty, the faculties are not complete and he's not mature enough. So therefore, he's not taken into account. So the accountability lies where? And the faculties. That's why the people of now say Rufi al Qalam and the Lath. Qalamu mada? Qalamu al Taklif. The pen is lifted from three. The pen, what pen? The pen of accountability. The pen of accountability. They're not held accountable. They're not considered sinful for what they do in these states because they do not have the faculty of their senses, their mind. Waadih? Likewise, Allah, He mentioned in His book, Inna khalaqana al insana. من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. Indeed, we created the human being from the mixed fluid, from the sperm, the semen, the mixed fluid of the male and the female. The wisdom from that, نبتليه, in order to test him. So therefore, we granted him the ability to hear and to see. فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا. Based upon that, so therefore we made him one who hears and one who sees, clarifying that the trial and the test lies in the faculties. It lies in the faculties. Also, this is clear. This is about Tawheed and the issue that we're discussing and the wisdom from the creation, the purpose intended for us. The purpose intended for us. Allah, He created the human being. Inna khalaqana al-insana min nutfatin amshaj. Indeed, we created the human being from the mixed fluid, sperm, semen. Allah, He did that. This is about Allah. This is al-tawheed al-ilmi. Al-tawheed al-ilmi. And also clarifying the wisdom from that. The wisdom from that. Nabatalihi. So we might try him. So we may try him. And then to emphasize that this test and trial is not in oppression or with injustice. Rather, we have been granted faculties and the instruments to take the test with. Right? What are the instruments? وَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. So therefore, we gave him the ability to hear and to see. We made him one who hears and sees. And we made him from those who have that faculty. So this test, it lies here. We're tested with our hearts and our emotions. We're tested with our eyes and our ears. We're tested with our wealth and our property. We're tested with our family and our children. So this is the affair of why we were created. This is the affair of why we were created. And this is something you cannot escape. This is something you cannot escape. You cannot run. You cannot flee from this affair. You were created for this purpose. And this is what you're doing here in this life. And you're going to face that reality, whether you like it or not. Understand? You can't hide. You can't turn off the lights. You can't stop. You just stop, right? You just can't stop it, right? You can't pause. This is the creation of Allah. He brought you into existence for this wisdom and this purpose, and this is what's happening right now. You understand? And you can't do nothing about it except what? Except submit. And if you submit, then you will find happiness and peace, joy and contentment in your heart. And if you do not submit and you rebel, then you will have nothing but problems and trials, and you'll never be happy, and you'll never be content, no matter what you obtain from this worldly life. For this reason, after this, what does the author say? Ma man al-abd. What is the meaning of al-abd? What is the meaning of slave? What is the meaning of slave? Who remembers the answer to this question?
There's two types.
Right? There's two types, yes. The slave. Where the abd means a slave, means a servant. But there's an attribute derived from it. What is that? Al-ubudiyya. 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 So if we want to understand the word abd, we must understand the attribute of the abd. And that is al-ubudiyya. Al-ubudiyya. Okay, now let's talk about al-ubudiyya. There's the ubudiyya kawniyya. And there's ubudiyya shar'iyya. Al-ubudiyya al-kawniyya and al-ubudiyya al-shar'iyya. There's an ubudiyya. What does that mean? Servitude. Servitude. Kawniyya, universal. And then there's ubudiyya shar'iyya, legislative. So there's universal servitude and there's legislative servitude. Another term referring to the same thing. Al-ubudiyya al-amma. وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ الْخَاصَّةِ The general ubudiyya, which is the universal ubudiyya, no one and nothing in creation escapes that. And there's the specific ubudiyya, which is the legislative ubudiyya. There was other terms we took also. الْقَهْرِيَّةِ وَالْإِخْتِيَارِيَّةِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ الْقَهْرِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ الْإِخْتِيَارِيَّةِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ الْقَهْرِيَّةِ This is the impelled. The impelled type of ubudiyya, the creation is impelled. They can't escape it. It's the universal. It's the general, encompassing all of the creation. And then there is al-ikhtiyariyya. Al-ubudiyya al-ikhtiyariyya. This is one that's performed by choice, by will. The willful servitude, submission. The willful servitude and submission, which is the specific servitude and submission, which is the legislative servitude and submission. So the legislative servitude and submission, or the willful servitude and submission, is considered specific. Why? Because it's for the believers only. It's specific because only the believers reach this level and the creation. Their ubudiyya is ikhtiyariyya shar'iyya. Their ubudiyya, their servitude, by the grace of Allah and His favor, by the mercy of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they choose to surrender and submit to Allah. And they learn His legislation and law. And they strive against their souls to implement that in their lives. You understand? So these people here, they're considered Ibadur Rahman. Ibadur Rahman. The slaves of Rahman. You understand? And in the noble upright slaves. Illa Ibadallahi al-Mukhlasi. This is what is being referred to. These people here, this is what is referred to in those verses. Whenever the word abd is mentioned in a praiseworthy light, then what is intended is this meaning here. The ubudiyya al-shar'iyya, العبودية الاختيارية، العبودية الخاصة بأولياء الله المؤمنين، بأولياء الله المؤمنين. So therefore, this is the reality. There are all of the creation is slaves to Allah. The evidence for that. إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا. There's nothing in the heavens and the earth except where it comes to Allah as a abd, as a slave, as an abd, huh? As a slave, right? As a slave, this is ubudiyya amma, al ubudiyya al qahriya, al ubudiyya al kawniya, the universal servitude, right? The impelling servitude. And he has no, the one who has no choice, no choice. So this is the issue of the abd. This is the issue of the abd. وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا. Yani, this one is? Khas. This is praise. This is praise. So the one who was under this general servitude, then he has no way out from that. But the one who chooses to submit, then this is the means to raise in the ranks and the levels and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because they fulfill their purpose in life, and they worship Allah. So therefore, after this, the author, he says, ما هي العبادة? What is ibadah? Are we following the arrangement? Huh? He's putting the puzzle together for you. Why you're doing, what's going on? Why are you here for? Huh? What are you supposed to do? What's the means for success? Allah, the people, so many of the disbelievers, they're lost like a puzzle pieces all over the place. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Right, it's all coming together here with the guidance and the light of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the beneficial clarification of the people of knowledge, directing us and showing us and clarifying for us that guidance. So, ma hiya al-ibadah? What is ibadah? Yeah. Allahu wa wa yardahu. من الأقوال والأعمال ظاهر باطنا اسم جامع لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأعمال ظاهر وباطنا. It's a comprehensive term referring to all of that which is beloved to Allah and pleasing to Him, from statement and actions, apparent and hidden, inwardly and outwardly. What it means, apparent and hidden, any outwardly and inwardly, outwardly and inwardly. Whenever we discussed ibadah, likewise we discussed it from two lights. We can discuss that. Yes. Uh-huh. Now, whenever we talked about ibadah, the definition of ibadah, we talked about ibadah from two aspects, two different definitions. Yes. لا. The definition of ibadah. We said that we look at the ibadah, we look at it from more than one aspect. That's one definition. What the author he mentioned is one definition. Remember? We discussed that ibadah, worship. When we define worship, we define it, it can be defined from two aspects. From the aspect, like here, the author he mentioned, the actions of worship, and then the state of worship. So there's a difference between the actions of worship and the state of worship. You understand? Somebody may be performing actions of worship, but he's not in the state of worship. Right? So we have the state of worship, the state of person he will be in while he's engaged in worship. And then we have actions of worship, individual actions of worship. So all of it's called worship. You understand? All of it's called worship. A person who, the person who is engaged in a particular action of worship, what is he doing? He's worshiping. What is the particular action that he's engaged in? It just depends. Maybe it's salat, maybe it's zakat, maybe it's qira'at al-Quran, maybe it's commanding the good. These are all different individual actions of worship. So the individual actions of worship, they have a definition. What are they? What is worship? Worship is a concise term referring to all of that which is pleased to Allah, all that was beloved to Allah and pleasing from statement and deed, outwardly and inwardly. This is ibadah. So any action or statement that's pleasing to Allah and that He loves is considered ibadah. It's considered worship. All right? But what is the state of person in worship? The state of worship is the peak of love and humbleness and submission. The peak of love and humbleness and submission. So the one who is engaged in worship, he should be in the state of worship. And the state of worship is the peak of love and humbleness and submission. The peak of love and humbleness and submission. Understand that? This is the definition here. So to summarize everything, then we say that ibadah is a tadhallul lillah bifi'li awamirihi wa tarki nawahihi mahabbatan wa ta'zima. So ibadah is to humble yourself before Allah by performing the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions out of love and reverence for Him. Out of love and reverence for Him. You understand that? So there must be love and reverence. A person, he must be, if he's in salat, for example, he himself must be in a state of love and reverence. Right? Love and reverence. He can't be just wherever. He's here, he's there, thinking about whatever he likes. That's not worship. That's not worship. Is not just bowing and raising your hands and prostrating and standing back up. That's the action of worship. But that action of worship will not be alive. It will not truly be beneficial. It's not going to be really worship until the person is in a state of worship. As for a person who is in the state of thinking about the worldly life and the dunya, then completely preoccupied with something else, not even thinking about Allah or the love of Allah, or hoping for the reward of Allah, or fearing the punishment of Allah, or remembering his sins. He's thinking about cars, planes, trains, and automobiles, right? He's thinking about all the dunya the whole time. Is he worshiping? That's not worship, right? Somebody who's supposed to clean up the masjid, and he's just moving stuff around. He said, He didn't clean nothing up. Right, somebody who has to supposed to mop and clean up the restaurant, and he just sweeps some stuff in the corner and takes the rags and just throws them on the sink, and then he wipes the table down onto the floor and then sweeps it under the table like that. And if you look, maybe it looks clean when you come and check. He didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. Right, that's what they say. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. That's not work. He didn't do that work. Go do it again, right? Irji fi salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Right? That's why the Prophet ﷺ told that man, go back and pray again, because he did some actions. He called them worship, but it was not the right way. From that is the tumanina. And he performing them properly, going through the motions properly. But the point is, barakallahu fikum, that ibadah, there's a state of ibadah. It must be performed while the heart is alive. The heart is alive with what? Al-hub, ghayat al-hub. Love, the peak of love. وَالذُّلِّ وَالْخُضُوعِ and humbleness and submission. So a person who is in prayer, but his heart is busy with the dunya, he's not doing it out of love. He's not doing it out of submission. He's ran by the worldly life. Understand? So that action of worship is deficient. So the heart must be alive. A person, he must be in the state of worship. So that's why we define worship from both aspects. This is the state of worship. It should be in a state of love, a state of servitude, a state of humbleness, a state of submission. He should have great hope in his heart while he's worshiping. He should have great fear in his heart while he's worshiping. And whenever you go to the market, you go to the store, that's different. Think about the dunya. But when you come to worship, you're supposed to have love in your heart for Allah. Reverence, and this is you, when you start worshiping, you leave the dunya. right? You leave the dunya and you engage in the hereafter, in the actions of the hereafter. So this has to be with love, it has to be with hope, it has to be with fear, it has to be with reverence, it has to be with humbleness and submission, it has to be with servitude and devotion, not with heedlessness or forgetfulness or being preoccupied with something else or something else. So then if a person learns how to get himself in this state, now this is how he should perform all individual actions of worship. What are the individual actions of worship? قُلُّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَهُ. Everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ, from statements and actions, الظاهر والباطنة. الظاهر والباطنة, outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly. Sometimes they translate it to mean apparent and hidden. Apparent and hidden. Based upon that, some people make mistakes in their explanation of this. But let's discuss it. A concise term referring to everything that is pleasing to Allah and that which He loves, from statements and actions. What does it mean when it says Allahira? Actions and statements, Allahira. Apparent. Apparent statements and actions, like what? Like Salah, and what else? Huh? Tasbih, making tasbih. What else? Making istighfar. What if you make istighfar to yourself, nobody can hear you? It's still considered? It's Zahira. It's Zahira. It's not Baqina. This is Zahira. This is an outward action that you perform. If you perform it outwardly, what do? You say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Even if nobody can hear you, this is something that you perform outwardly. You understand that? It's a statement that you perform outwardly. Wally? Apparently. This is what is intended. And Allah knows best from Al-Zahira. Al-Zahira. And Al-Baqina? Al-Baqina? الباطن وما هو الباطن؟ باطن الإنسان في القلب in the heart. الأعمال والأقوال الظاهرة, the apparent, the outward statements and actions, and those that are outwardly performed. As for the hidden, الباطن, الباطنة, the inward, this is in reference to the heart. The statements and the actions of the heart. The statements and the actions of the heart. Understand that? So the heart has a statement too. What is that? Al-aqidah, the tasdiq, the iqrar, that you believe. You say that Allah is one and you believe it in your heart. You say there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah and you mean it in your heart. You say that, you say Allahu Akbar and you glorify Him in your heart. You say Alhamdulillah, you praise and thank and love Him in your heart. So that praise and thanks and love that you reference in your heart, that's an action. That's pleasing to Allah. That's an action that's pleasing to Allah. And it's not something that's performed outwardly or apparently, rather something that's performed hidden inside, inside the heart. Inside the heart. Understand that? That's what is intended by al-aqwal al-baqim. From the creed. From the creed. Then whenever your heart moves with love, it moves with hope, it moves with fear, it moves with trust, it moves with reliance, right? With reverence, with veneration, then that is the actions of the heart. So the statement of the heart is the creed that you believe and you affirm and you mean what you say about these affairs. You understand that? And then the actions of the heart, the love and the trust and the reliance and the fear and the hope and the reverence and the humbleness and the likes and the khushu' that hits the heart, that comes to the heart by the grace of Allah. These are the actions of the heart. And these are al-a'mal al-aqwal wal-a'mal al-ba'thina. Al-a'mal al-aqwal al-ba'thina. Some people, maybe they read a translation and then they make their interpretation or understanding based upon that without knowing the fundamentals of these terms. The fundamentals of these terms and what is intended. So they may say, if you make dua quietly, nobody can hear you, this is inwardly, right? Or hidden. That's not what is intended. That's not what is intended by al-aqwal wal-a'mal al-batina. This is referring to the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart. So you have actions on the tongue and the limbs, and you have and the body parts, and you have actions of the heart. So the actions that are performed on the tongue and the limbs outwardly that are pleasing and beloved to Allah, this is ibadah. And the actions and the statements of the heart inwardly that are pleasing and beloved to Allah, this is ibadah. This is ibadah. Then the author, he said after that, مَتَى يَكُونُ الْعَمَلُ عِبَادَةً. So this is the amal, right? He referring here to this issue. When is the action going to be considered ibadah? He said, rahimahullah, whenever you complete two things, and that is love and humbleness. Love and humbleness, and he referring to the outward aspect, referring to the inward out, the state of that worshiper. So those beloved actions, when do they become ibadah? Those beloved statements and actions, when do they become ibadah? إذا كمل فيه شيئان وهما كمال الحب مع كمال الذل. When does those actions that are beloved to Allah and those statements that are beloved to Allah, inwardly and outwardly, when do they become ibadah? Whenever the person completes while performing them two affairs. What are they? Love and humbleness. Love and submission. Right? This is when it becomes ibadah. So if a person is doing actions that are beloved to Allah, but he's not doing it from love and humbleness and submission, then it's not really ibadah. He's not really doing the action. He's not worshiping like he's supposed to. Because it's not intended for us to worship just to move around. And it's not just to move around, go up and down, or just to fast and leave your food, or just to let your money go like this. That you're supposed to do it with your heart attached to Allah, hoping for Allah. Because you love Allah, that's why you fast, that's why you pray, that's why you give charity, that's why you lower your gaze, that's why you repent, that's why you make istighfar, because you love Allah. Because you love Allah, not because it's a custom or a culture, or because that's how my dad told me. For example, if you had a dad who told you that not like that, not of customs, not out of habits, not out of cultures, not because everybody else is doing it, because you love Allah. Because you love Allah. Wallah. And if you love Allah, you surrender to Him and you submit to Him. Al-Ubudiyyah, Al-Sha'iyyah, Al-Ikhtiyariyyah, Al-Khasa. Right? Because Allah, He chose you to be a believer. To be a believer. So you worship Him with love because He chose you to be a believer. You love Him because He guided you to Islam. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. You understand that? So you have to worship Him with love, not with heedlessness, not for forgetfulness, not with customs, not with cultures, none of that. None of that. None of that. And this book is really, 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 really beneficial. And we can continue reviewing, but I think it's last time, huh? Is it time for our shuru? Al-Ishraq, Mundu, 4 minutes and 11 seconds. Well, we have 10 more minutes, huh? 10 more minutes until we can pray Duha. So we take advantage of it. Barakallahu fikum wa jazakumullahu khairan. After this, the author says, ma'alamutu mahabbati al-abdi rabbahu. What is the sign that the slave, that the servant loves his Lord? There are signs that the servant loves his Lord. So now we're supposed to, when does the action become ibadah? When you do it out of love and out of humbleness and submission. Okay, how do you know that you love Allah? Yes.
That the servant loves what Allah loves and he hates what Allah loves.
Allahu Akbar. That he loves what Allah loves and he hates what Allah hates. And he performs and he fulfills the commandments and he avoids the prohibitions. You understand that? This is how. If you love Allah, then you do what Allah loves. And what Allah loves, He makes it an obligation or He orders it and recommends it. And you avoid and stay away from what Allah does not like. And if He does not like something, He will forbid it. Or He would declare it to be disliked. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sign that a person loves Allah, that he loves what Allah loves and is displeased with what Allah is displeased with. So he fulfills His commands, avoids His prohibitions, and takes an allegiance with his allies, and he shows enmity towards his enemies. Towards his enemies. After this, the author said, Rahimahullah, how do the servants know what Allah loves and is pleased with? How do you know what Allah loves and is pleased with? And how do you know it's ibadah? How do you know it's ibadah? Through knowledge of what? The legislation, which was wahi, revelation. Through the revelation. Allah, He didn't leave the people here to figure it out by themselves. I think maybe Allah likes this. I think maybe Allah likes that. Right? Like the Mubtadi'ah. Yani, this is good. That's good. We'll worship Allah like this. Or even worse than them, the Nasara and the likes, worshiping Allah however they like. Allah didn't leave the people like this without guidance. Rather, He sent revelation. Prophets and messengers with guidance and light. Role models for mankind. How? Teaching them what is beloved to Allah and pleasing to Him, and encouraging them upon that way, and giving them glad tidings for those who believe and follow that path, and also clarifying what is displeasing to Allah and what earns His anger, and warning them from that way. So the guidance has come in the revelation, and this is what the prophets and messengers they were sent with, alayhim salatu was salam, with the clarification of that which is beloved to Allah and that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in general, if you want to know what is beloved to Allah, then you have to search for something in the Quran and Sunnah. And if you want to know what is not beloved to Allah, you have to search for something in the Quran and Sunnah. What is that? The head of it. There's a number of ways, but the head. If you want to read, you open Fatiha, you want to start reading, I want to look for the things that are beloved to Allah. What are you looking for? Huh? Commandments. Send. You're looking for the commandments. You're looking for the commandments. You're going to look for the places where there are orders to do something. Right? Yeah. So you look for the places where there are orders to do something in the Quran. Likewise in the Sunnah. You're going to look for the commandments. Because if Allah, He loves something, He commands it. You understand that? So the commandments, this is knowing the commandments is knowing what is beloved to Allah. To know what is pleasing and beloved to Allah, you must know the commandments, that which Allah, He orders. What is the first commandment in the Quran? The commandment for Tawheed, huh? Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. Oh mankind, worship your Lord. See here, u'budu rabbakum. This is a command. How do you know? Because the form of the verb. Abada ya'budu. Huh? U'bud. Antum, u'budu. Ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum. So this is a verb. Command verb. That's the first command verb. And it's a command to make to what? Ibadah. That words we're talking about. And it's a command to all mankind. All mankind. You understand that? Ya yuannas. Ubudu rabbakum. Who do you worship? Your Rabb. So the Rabb is the Ma'bud. The Rabb is the Ma'bud. Right? And who is the Rabb? Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. Walladhina min qablikum. And likewise, the one who created those before you. And what is the wisdom and benefit and fruit you hope to get from that worship? So that you can fear Allah. So if you worship Him heedlessly, it's not really worship, right? Because it doesn't produce taqwa. It doesn't produce taqwa, right? If you worship Allah, you make salah, but you're heedless and forgetful. There's no love and no veneration, right? This is not producing taqwa. So the wisdom from worshiping the Rabb is to produce taqwa. So that you fear Him, so that you revere Him, so that you love Him and you hope to be near Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the issue here. How do you know if it's beloved to Allah? You look for the commandments. You look for the commandments. How do you know if Allah, He does not like it? He does not accept it. He rejects it. What do you look for? The prohibitions. What's the first prohibition in the Quran? When the first prohibition is the prohibition of shirk. Right after that verse, right? Ubudu rabbakum. Allah, He says, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And do not set up rivals or partners with Allah in worship. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. While you know. While you know what? That Allah, He's the creator, He's the provider, He's the sustainer, He's the one who sends the rain from the sky. Well, you know these affairs. Don't make rivals or partners with Allah. Whenever you know you have التوحيد العلمي, do not make shirk with Allah while you have tawheed al-ilmi, right? Well, you know that Allah created you and those before you. Well, you know that Allah, He created the earth and made it spread out, and that He created the heavens and He sends rain and water from the sky, and He causes that water to go into the ground, and in the ground, the seeds, they stir up and they split, and crops and plants and vegetables and the likes, this all grows as a provision for you. As a provision for you. And Allah, He created all these things and made all these happen. All these things happen. And in this process of rain coming from the sky above your head and going into the ground and then crops coming to life, all of this what? Rizqan lakum, as a provision for you. That's His mercy for you. He did that for you. So what should you do? Whatever you do, don't make any rivals with Allah Azza wa Jalla while you know. While you know that He created you and provided for you in this manner. Do not associate partners with Allah in worship. Ubudu rabbakum wa la taj'alu lahu andada. Ubudu rabbakum wa la taj'alu lahu amdada. Allahu Akbar. This is the Shahada. This is the Shahada, right? Where? Huh? Ubudu rabbakum. This is affirmation. Wa la taj'alu lahu andada. And do not set up rivals with Him in worship. That is negation. Right? Andadan. and a general encompassing negation. So this is the meaning of the Shahada. Huh? So the first thing that we're ordered to do in the Quran is to establish the Shahada. Understand that? The call for Tawheed. And the Tawheed is not Tawheed until the Ibadah is not Ibadah until the Shahada is not Shahada until you have Kufr. It's not sufficient, O mankind, just to worship Allah. On top of that, you must not associate any partners with Him. Right? You must believe that everything that is worshipped besides Him is falsehood. This is a requirement. This is a requirement. So that leads us to the next issues that we have been discussing. Alhamdulillah. InshaAllah, that's a good review. May Allah accept from all of us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.